So, John, about how long have you been working with wildlife and around animals?
So, you know, I always joke about this because it just seems like I was genetically engineered to work with wildlife because I just, ever since I was a little kid, I wanted to work with animals and studied them all throughout, you know, grade school and high school. And then I got a degree in fisheries and wildlife biology. And I've been working down here in Laramie Twin Lakes for about 23 years now. And it's the best job in the world, and I love my outdoor office that I get to see hummingbirds and squirrels and deer and pelicans and eagles and everything.
And throughout your long and distinguished career, can you think of an animal that inspires more fear than snakes, particularly the venomous variety?
No, I here at the Nature Station, we deal with a lot of animals that have a lot of baggage, you know, bats, spiders, wolves, coyotes, and snakes. And many of those animals have made a little bit of more of a recovery as far as how people view them. You know, some of the medieval viewing of they say like the bats, for instance, has changed quite a bit because people are now realizing how important they are as far as insect control, particularly mosquitoes. So they've made quite a bit of recovery as far as how people view them. Snakes is still one of the ones that have had the most trouble. I must say that in my time that I've worked here, during the time period when Steve Irwin was very active on TV, I taught kids before that and kids after, and the kids after, you know, he was so popular, we're way more educated on the importance of snakes in our environment.
Could you even narrow down misconceptions about snakes to a couple? And if so, what would the primary ones be?
Well, I think, you know, the one of the big ones is that snakes are out to get you. And that is probably one of the most, yes, they will defend themselves if they feel cornered, if they feel threatened themselves. We are a much bigger threat to them than we are. They are to us. And every time that I've ever had to deal with a snake, the first thing it's trying to do is just get away. You know, they may appear like they're going to strike at you. They take some fearsome poses. And for most animals in nature, that makes a difference. You know, a coyote or a bobcat's going to think twice before going after something. But in, you know, for us, that's a threat and we want to eliminate it. And often the snake comes out on the losing end of that. When it comes to venomous snakes, I think, you know, people often think if they come out in the woods, they're going to step on them and they're everywhere. And that's just not necessarily the truth. You know, there are lots of venomous snakes, you know, when you go hiking here in the South, that's not just Laramie Twin Lakes, but the South. But they are mainly nocturnal. They're mainly off the beaten path. And they mainly want to stay away from us. They feel our vibrations as we're hiking and they want to get the heck out of there.
What are the most common types of snakes that visitors will find at LBL, and what types of these are venomous? And perhaps most importantly, how can you tell the difference between the two of them?
Sure. So we have 26 species of snakes that are found in Laramie Between Lakes. Of those, only four are venomous. The most common ones that people will come across when they're, say, hiking on the Central Hardwoods Trail or hematite, maybe they're on a fishing bank, are a lot of the black snakes, which are all harmless. Actually, black snakes are good snakes because they're the ones that typically are competitors for venomous snakes, or they eat venomous snakes. So like a black king snake will eat other snakes, including a rattlesnake. Black rat and black racers eat the kind of foods that a copperhead or a rattlesnake may eat and thus make their populations a little less likely in that area. If you're on fishing bank, a lot of times you'll see a lot of water snakes. Some of these are very large. Unfortunately, they kind of look like some venomous snakes, but like for instance, the northern water snake, also known as the banded water snake, people often confuse as a copperhead. Well, copperheads are just not really all that water-based, but northern water snakes are very common. They have a solid band. They have a head that's shaped like your thumb. That makes it harder. That makes it harder for us to identify sometimes, but it does make it a non-venomous snake that we have. Venomous snakes that we have here belong to the pit viper family, And they have some similar family characteristics. Some of them, the most prominent is their triangle-shaped head. It sticks out. Like I said, non-venomous snakes that we have here, the 22 other venomous non-venomous snakes, have a head shaped like your thumb. A rattlesnake, a cottonmouth, pygmy rattlesnake, copperhead, have a head that's shaped like a triangle. It sticks out among that area. Most of our venomous snakes also are big-bodied. They're very thick. And this is not always the best characteristic for people to look for. I don't want you to get close enough to look at it, but venomous snakes have a cat eye. Non-venomous snakes have a round eye. I don't want anybody to get that. Look, that naturalist said it looks like a cat's eye. That's too close. But what that tells you is that that animal is active at night. And most people are active during the day, especially at Land Between Lakes.
Well, what do you do if you're hiking at Land Between the Lakes and you look down and suddenly there is very definitely a venomous snake coiled up within a foot or two of you?
Well, the first thing is definitely stop, and then just kind of watch where what the snake's activity is. It's probably aware of you because of the vibration. You can kind of sit there and see if it just kind of moves on. If not, just slowly step back. A venomous snake has a strike zone about a third to sometimes a half the size of its body. So it's not a large strike zone. So you really have to be quite close to be in that area. It's been my experience working here at the Nature Station Land Between Lakes and many of my other naturalists that we really have, as close as we have been to some venomous snakes being out there in the backcountry, we've never really been struck at by any of them. So their last defense is to bite somebody. It's expensive to make venom. They don't want to do it. A lot of times they may do it only if they are feeling threatened, say, you know, you stepped on one, for instance. But the last thing they want to do is that. And I've never had one strike at me in my time. Not saying that it doesn't happen to other people, but it has not happened to me or some of my other staff.
And generally, if one were to stop and try to very slowly back away, the snake's not going to be inclined to come after them?
No, they're going to coil up. They're going to pay attention to what's going on. They may even do some threat behaviors. You know, rattlesnakes often, of course, rattle their tail, and they're going to curl back their head into a coil. A cottonmouth, if you get close to a cottonmouth or water moccasin, they may rear back and open up their mouth and show you that they're dangerous. Cottonmouth get the name cottonmouth because they have a white mouth, and they really take on a threatening posture. Now, what we also need to be kind of cautious of is that there's a lot of non-venomous snakes that do some of the same type of behavior too, because they're trying to scare, you know, animals and humans away from them. So they may rear back, they may open their mouth, they may rattle their tail a little bit. So it's important to kind of not be too frightened and panic every time that you see a snake in the wild.
And what if someone were to be bitten by a venomous snake? What's the protocol?
Well, the best thing to do, of course, is stay calm. I mean, it's going to hurt if you get envenomated, but stay calm, get to a doctor as soon as possible. In many cases, it's not like you see in the movies where the cowboy gets bit by the rattlesnake and he flops over dead off the horse. Some people may have, like a bee sting, have an allergic reaction, and that's a little bit more serious of a situation. But for the most part, you should have no trouble getting to an emergency room where you can be taken care of. And, you know, in Kentucky, the Kentucky Poison Control could also be a good resource to call during that type of emergency, and they can give you some good instructions on what to do, as well as what to worry about. They also take a lot of good statistics. And last time I checked with them, we don't have an awful lot of people that get bit by venomous snakes, maybe about 60 per year. And of those, majority of them are copperheads. And that's because copperheads are more common, and they live in closer to humans than, say, rattlesnakes and cottonmouths do. And they're the least venomous of all the venomous snakes. Most people that get bit by a venomous snake in the state of Kentucky, if you look at the statistics, are trying to either kill them or capture them. And They often belong to one gender. I'll let you guys guess which one that is and what age group that they belong to. So if you break down the statistics, it really is something that can be easily avoided.
John, is there anything else you'd like to tell us about snakes?
Well, yeah, you know, I think it's also important to realize the importance of them in our ecosystem. They do take care of a lot of the pests that tend to bother us and spread disease. There's some recent studies that have come out that in areas that have a good, healthy snake population, also a good, healthy, what we call mesopredators, like foxes and weasels and stuff, that tick populations, particularly disease-spreading ticks, is much more lower because they eat a lot of the vectors like mice, that help spread the ticks and that hurt us. Also, of course, mice can be detrimental to crops. They can be detrimental to a lot of things. They eat a lot of insects, so they can be an important part of our ecosystem, and you know, it's something to kind of enjoy in our yards.